Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, of Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us,
Jesus!
God and babies,
Jesus!
Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said it's cold outside.
I've got to go.
And I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
What's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So
roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe just a drink
put
more.
The records on while I
the neighbors pour. Might say
maybe it's bad out there.
Hey, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
well.
Ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
if I move in
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
I said, didn't I tell your punk-ass boy he couldn't handle goddamn cook? You listen when I tell the faggot he couldn't handle it. Now I'm telling your short ass he can't handle goddamn milk cook.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J.K. Morris. I know I just extended the shit out of my already long intro, but, you know, I had a couple things I wanted to fit in there. Let's just get right into this shit off the bat, man, with this sensitivity on fucking comedians, man. Couple things have gone on with, I think Kevin Hart was supposed to host the Oscars, I believe, and I guess they dug up tweets or some shit or part of his comedy bit from 8 years ago. Little of both. I think it was some tweets and then some things that he said in his comedy routine that they called homophobic and this. And then they wanted another apology, even though he was forced to make an apology then. And he said, nah, I'm not going to apologize again for some shit that I already apologized about. And he was like, nah, move on then. Fuck it. So he was out of there with that. Then you got, you know, you got people, everyone wants to turn everything into a fucking race thing. So then Nick Cannon comes out. Now he's pointed out all the white people who said some wild shit on Twitter, and they're not getting in trouble for it. Oh, Chelsea Handler and Sarah Silverman and who the fuck else? Amy Schumer. Look, they said faggot on the fucking Twitter. And what about them? Let's just be fucking straight up. You know, obviously racism exists. But when it comes to this right here, this isn't a racial issue. There is a full-on attack on fucking comedy and the freedom within comedy to say what the fuck you want to say. My favorite fucking stand-up of all time is Eddie Murphy's Delirious. Within the first minute of the fucking special, he starts off by saying, I got some rules when I'm up here doing my stand-up. My faggots ain't allowed to look at my ass. That's why I keep moving around when I'm doing this, because you never know where the faggot section's at. And if they catch a glimpse, you got to turn real quick so they don't get, you know, their minds working on what I got. This is like, you know, this is what he said out there. You know what I mean? And then he went into, you know, Mr. T being gay and Ralph Cramden being gay and impersonating this and dude fucking this dude in the ass and all this other shit. It's comedy. This shit is comedy, man. These are comedians. This is like when you talk about the best comedians that have ever done it. All fucking chains were off of them. They were able to say whatever the fuck they want. The most legendary comedians ever were allowed to say whatever the fuck they want. They didn't have to make explanations for shit and apologies and donations to fucking different organizations in order to make sure they know I wasn't serious with this and this. Society has gotten too fucking sensitive. Nick Cannon, he's a fucking clown. He's been a fucking clown. He's been playing the race card for no fucking reason every chance he gets for a long fucking time. This dude played like fucking like the white black man on fucking TV, all smiles, proper language, you know, just like talking in a whole different sense. He was hosting fucking America's Got Talent for all sorts of time, beloved by America, everything's good. And then all of a sudden he just decides like, yeah, I'm gonna quit, and then starts doing like spoken word shit and talking shit about the white man holding me down. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? Like, you like ran away from fame in order to say that they were hating on you, man. You had to open door to fucking make ridiculous amounts of money. Dude was doing wilding out on fucking MTV. I think it's on MTV, right? Dude was doing wilding out on MTV, jumping around, doing funny rap shit, this and that. And then on another channel, playing the role of fucking, you know, PC host and shit, and doing both fucking roles. And nobody was like, oh shit, you're a little too black for us. He was doing whatever the fuck he wanted with his career, and it was all good. And then the second he wanted to just pull the reins back and go, oh, everybody's racist. Tell you what, though, because this dude, when he starts talking his shit, he starts off with that, yo, the black man is God, the black man is king. That's bullshit. Right there, that type of fucking talk is racist in itself. So you can be proud of who you are. You can have pride in who you are all day long. But if you start saying that your race is superior to another race, that's what racism is. That's exactly what racism is. But a lot of times when the tables are flipped and people say it from the other side, if they, you know, if they're a black person and say, oh, you know, the black man is king, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, he's just proud. But if a white dude said that, it'd be like, get that motherfucker out of here. Yo, he's racist as shit. How would you just come out and say, yo, the white man is king? Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that? Nobody would accept that shit, and they shouldn't accept it on the other side of the aisle either. So I listen to what motherfuckers say. I listen to what they're really about. And then when they come out of their mouth with that type of statement, like, look, I guess Nick could fall into the category as a comedian at times. I don't know if that's what you classify Nick Cannon as, a comedian. Well, if you do, you know, and look, Nick's done some shit I like, too. Like, he played a great host on America's Got Talent. I think Wildin' Out's a funny show and shit, you know. It has its moments. Sometimes it's corny as shit, and sometimes, it's, you know, it's got some funny shit going on there. So, I never really hated, like, the things he did performance-wise or, you know, what he put out there as far as entertainment. I mean, any of that rap he was trying to do, we can keep that for yourself, bro. Like, you don't even need to put that out there. And then it was like, when there was like a tease of like Eminem was going to get in some battle shit with him, it was like, you might want to fucking stay in the house for a week or two, you know what I mean? Like, fuck all that. You know damn well what's about to happen. But it's just crazy, you know what I mean? You know, he's just decided to play that fucking role. And if he's a comedian, if we're putting him in that class, then I really think all the comedians, every comedian, male, female, white, black, I mean, Spanish, I mean, whatever race, color, creed, I think everybody needs to fucking stand together on this and take a stand against this PC bullshit. Motherfuckers are getting labeled and fucking drugged through the fucking mud because they're being comedians, just because they're being comedians. I mean, how many comedians make rape jokes? Well, you can get a whole fucking coalition against that, because that's obviously a sensitive subject. How many comedians make race jokes? Oh, we could draw them out. We could make them fucking actual racist. How many people make jokes about women? Well, get the feminists out. Get them the fuck out of here. How many people make jokes about, you know, some shit happening with kids? Oh, get that shit out of there. I mean, you can go down the list over and over and over. And half of the reason why I play the Bernie Mac piece that I play all the time at the beginning of the show with the milk and cookies is because that's the type of wild fucking comedy. Bernie Mac is, to me, one of the funniest motherfuckers ever. The way he talked and everything, like, and he's talking about his kids and, you know, his adopted kids and talking, didn't I tell a little faggot he couldn't have no milk and cookies? Like, that's one of the funniest fucking things ever to me. But, like, yeah, if you want to pinpoint it and put a fucking spotlight on it, be like, oh, not, he was calling a child a faggot, and that's so wrong on, you're teaching children that homophobia is okay. Like, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Like, if you're not capable of laughing at comedy, just watch horror movies or watch drama where you could cry at the fucking screen all day, suspense, whatever the fuck you're into. But leave comedy alone. Just leave it, just walk the fuck away from it, because you can't handle comedy. You're not about that. And that's what the thing is, man. I like to fucking laugh. I think that's my preferred, you know, type of entertainment is comedy. So comedy serves as a distraction towards some of the major things that are going on in life. And if you could lighten your mood a little bit instead of being down about everything that goes on, I think that's for the better. I think that's 100% for the better. If you're going to go, oh, this guy thinks it's funny that this happened, like, that's, I mean, I think you lost the entire concept of comedy at that point. It's just wild, and it's just a continued assault, and you keep going back, and you just be like, how would Sam Kinison exist in this day and age of comedy? How would the old Richard Pryor shit exist in this day of comedy? How would Dice, I mean, Dice is still doing Dice, but, you know, he's rich enough that it doesn't matter, but how would he come out with, like, that fucking first album? There's no way. I mean, there's just shit that, it's unbelievable, you know, the type of held over the fire that these comedians are getting, and everything's held under a spotlight, you know? It's just crazy. I can't really stand it. So yeah, that's that. I just wanted to touch on that because it's a continuing swirl of nonsense that keeps going on and keeps being talked about. I decided I don't like Meek Mill. There was a couple of his tracks I really liked on a couple albums he did and stuff, but he put out this new album and stuff, and I listened to it, and look, for what he does, I'm sure it's fire, but, like, I just don't like his shit. Every one of his, like, albums and his tracks, just, like, that flow pattern, that I don't like that shit. I just don't like it. It's corny as fuck to me. It gets on my nerves. All the fucking beats sound like fucking old bass tapes motherfuckers used to get every time they got 12 or 15 inch speakers. It just got a little bit of something to it that's just boom, boom, fucking Kyle Beats, you know, fucking get the fuck out of here. I don't know. I ain't with it. And then he put on like a fucking What's Beef track. What's Beef is dope, man. You can't redo What's Beef. Get the fuck out of here. And he got a Getaway track on. You can't redo a Mobb Deep track neither. You know, I already had this, I'm not sold on this dude for a minute shit. And then like Drake, just like corny ass Canadian rapper, just came smack the shit out of him. He went into hiding for a while. Yeah, I mean, he's just not my type of rapper, man. It's just, there's something for everybody. And a lot of this shit these days, even guys that can rap, I don't think he's a terrible rapper as far as like, you know, putting words together and shit like that. He's not a mumble rapper or anything like that. But just like his whole style and shit, I can't fuck with it. I just don't like it. It's fucking crazy to me. Just not my type of shit. So, that's that. Let me see. Yo, Maria Manic is putting out, and I mean, good for her that she's capitalizing on this shit. She is putting out, so basically, you can buy merch from her, you can buy 8x10s from her, and request that she degrades you on your 8x10. Because these nerds out here are just straight up, just pervs anyway, you know what I mean? So they're more or less having her, like, femdom them on fucking, on merch. Like, let me see, I think I took a picture of this shit. Where the fuck did I put it? Oh, shit. I go through my fucking... There it is. So, this is like, Dear James, you should hold on to this because it'll be worth a lot of money one day, and I'm sure your broke ass could use it. And then, and then it says, like, P.S., you can never be as hot as me. And she signs it. There's another one that says, Dear Steve, a.k.a. Mark, I don't even have a dick, but I bet mine is still bigger than yours. Fuck you, eat my ass, love Maria. Like, just, these motherfuckers are paying for this shit. This is the wildest shit ever. So, if you want Maria to degrade you on an 8x10, and you want to pay for that, there's a good chance you're not listening to the show. But then again, there's a lot of fuck dudes that listen to my show too, because I'd be surprised as fuck, man. I talk some shit about people, next thing you know, they listening and they pop right back in on what I said, you know. Some people aren't going to get their names mentioned, you know, as they crave. Because the thing is, I'll address shit on the show. I hear shit about my name or this and that, and I'm just going to respond. I mean, if that's the thing, like whether my name is mentioned for a second or 20 minutes, I'm going to respond to it. I mean, you could pretty much guarantee that. If I hear about it, because I don't run around listening to bullshit shows, so I might as well just address this now. I don't run around listening to bullshit shows, but a lot of times, people will fucking start screenshotting and sending me links, and, yo, did you hear what the fucking this dude said? Of course I didn't, because I don't listen to your fucking shows. Then when I say something about them, well, they're listening to my show, so they hear it right away. So, like, the kid from last week I talked about, I said something about mentioning my name and this and that, and then, like, everybody was like real, real obsessed with like, yo, he went 20 minutes on it. And okay, well, the thing is I do the show to just talk and just ramble and say whatever the fuck. So if I'm having fun with something, I'm just going to talk about it. It really, like, I'm already investing whatever amount of time I feel like just to fucking rap on this shit for whatever. So it doesn't really hold any weight or value for me to go 20 minutes or a half hour, like, oh my God, he spent 20 minutes talking about this. Who gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck. Just like people are like, how could you spend all that time talking about something you don't watch? Like, because I could do that shit. You know what I mean? Like, if I have time to burn and shit, and that's why, like, you know, I take these hiatuses and stuff because I don't always have fucking time to do this shit. But if I have time to do it, I'm up to talk about fucking whatever kind of shit. So this isn't some shit where like, oh my God, at 20 minutes, like, man. The type of shit you do with your time is fucking crazy. Like, when you listen to those fucking shows and you listen to what they fucking ramble on and on, blowing fucking wrestlers for 2 hours, 3 hours on a motherfucking show, Don't worry about what I spent 20 minutes on. If I mention your name for fucking 20 minutes, be fucking thankful. You know what I mean? Keep that shit in mind around Thanksgiving and tell your family. You know what I mean? And as far as, like, you know, at me on Twitter or whatever the fuck, dude, we don't have a relationship. Go play with your fucking friends. You're not on my fucking level. You're not going to hear your name all the fucking time. I'm not going to go back and forth with you. You can go suck a dick, motherfucker. I'm not here for you. You know what I mean? If I mention you because I heard some shit, that's fine, but it's not going to... You can keep fucking talking. I already told you how I feel about you. It's all good. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's pretty much that about that dude and what it is there. Let me see. I know I got other shit. I want to get into this Roman Reigns Sozio thing that happened. And big shout out to Sozio. Next week we will be doing our annual Cage of Death review. So I will be watching a wrestling show for the sake of this show. And myself along with Sozio will be doing a full rundown on the Cage of Death show next week. Sometime next week. I'm not really sure the date. I have to get my hands on Cage of Death, which will happen tomorrow, and I'll give you the card in a minute. And then from there, we'll do the recap as we see it. I'm sure Sozio within the next week will have the graphic up, fucking photo whopped graphic of the two of us. But anyway, I don't have the exact quote on there because, you know, getting research and I don't do that shit. When Roman Reigns came out on Raw and announced that he has leukemia and it's back full force. It's something he's dealt with his whole life and it's back full force and he has to relinquish his title and step back from TV. I immediately thought pretty much the same thing that Sozio said. Now, Sozio said it in a very, you know, sarcastic tone on Facebook. So some people took it very literally and very, you know, seriously and to the heart and they took it to the butt too because they got real butthurt about it and started, threatening and this and that. He pretty much said that, like, it took... Oh, Vince McMahon finally found a way to get Roman over as a face. Leukemia, brilliant, or something like that. I'm just paraphrasing. But, so, my thoughts on it was this, too. Man, I saw countless fucking people up until, like, the week before that shit that were, oh, fucking hope Roman dies. I can't stand him. Fucking why do they keep fucking force-feeding this dude to us? I wish they'd get him off my fucking TV. Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. And then the second... that he announced this very serious thing, they're all like, oh, fuck, I can't, shit, let me go delete last week's comments, dude, I always loved this guy, man, oh, that's such a shame, it's like, all of a sudden, he had a bunch of people that gave a fuck, where, like, the week before, they were wishing death on him over, like, a match they didn't like, and shit like that. Roman Reigns has been consistently one of the most hated WWE superstars in the past fucking 3-4 years, easily. And a guy, especially amongst faces, like, I think he's fucking leaped over Cena of people, you know, that were hating on a face because that was, like, Cena's spot. So he took part of the Cena face hate spot, you know what I mean, that he had for so long. I don't want to say I was Roman's biggest fan always and shit like that, but I always, and I haven't watched WWE in a long, long time, but I always gave him a lot more credit. Obviously he's got a great look. Yeah, I mean, he's built, he's fucking, you know, in the type of shape you should be, you know, if you're going to be on the fucking posters and shit like that. I don't think he, like, fucking ruins a bunch of matches or anything like that. The one turning point I remember where, you know, he was doing his basically copy paste moves and just kind of filling in through all the shit. And then, there was a point where it was going to be like him versus Brock. And it was going to be like, oh boy, how's this going to go? And he really went in there and it was stiff as fuck back and forth. They did a lot of hard hitting shit in that match. And he really stepped up quite a bit. And you could see in a lot of matches, man, he's working hard. I mean, I don't think he's just laying back and fucking getting everything handed to him or anything. So I think he had, you know, somewhat of a victim of, you know, the Vince McMahon, I don't give a fuck push. where people are like, I don't really like him as a face. And Vince is like, yeah, well, you don't run this fucking company and I'm a fucking millionaire. So, you know, I could take you motherfuckers not liking me and it'd be fine. This ain't the indies, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't show up, I still have enough people. I'm all set. Yeah, I'm all set. I ain't counting fucking, you know, in the hundreds. I'm counting in the thousands. So you can go fuck yourself. That's kind of how Vince is. And he's selling shirts and he's selling all his merch and shit like that. He's doing all right, regardless of people liking him or not on the internet. So I think he's somewhat of a victim of that. My other bias towards him is like him and like almost all the Samoans are Niner fans. So that's like going to be immediately like, you know, bias for me. But, yeah, man, like it's a real sad situation. And, you know, I have a dude that's fucking on the top of his game, you know, obviously making big, big fucking money in the WWE. He's all over the top of the fucking card. He's, you know, one of the main players in the WWE. And seemingly was going to be for years and years to come because, you know, he's far younger than a lot of your other top guys there. And, you know, it's a shame. It really is. But, yeah, you do see a tremendous amount of support. That was the biggest fucking face pop he ever got, you know, of, you know, saying some sad shit like that. The motherfuckers were behind him 100% all of a sudden. They didn't show up to the arena planning to be behind him. There's people in the car on the way there going like, I can't wait to tell him to fuck himself. And then like they got there and like, oh, like, what the fuck? That's not what our night's plans were. So yeah, people got real fucking crazy, to, you know, Sozio talking shit and this and that. But like, again, everybody's fucking sensitive, too sensitive to even fucking look at the reality of the situation and what's even being said or done. No one was wishing anything bad on Roman. The people who were wishing bad on Roman, you could go check on their statuses the week before. Because those, like, he should die statuses, you know, I mean, those should be pretty offensive when you find out a week later the dude's got a major fucking disease. So, yeah. That's just how I felt about that whole thing. And, again, you know, people get all fucking crazy on the internet. And it's kind of to be expected at this point. So about a couple weeks back, probably a month ago or something like that, Dave Chris did one of those things where on Instagram you, like, ask a question and then you get, like, a picture with the fucking answer or some shit. I've never done any of it, but, you know, you'll just see, like, the posts show up on a thing. I don't know if it's on the stories or what it's on, but someone said, what do you think of CZW's current product? And he just fucking made this like, face and it said trash in big fucking letters across it. So this is just like a clear example on another one of the main players of CZW of recent times that have completely fucking turned their back on it. You know, DJ will get on his interviews and shit like this, and thankfully I haven't listened to any kind of DJ Hyde interviews. I don't know if he's not doing them anymore or if it's the fact that I never listen to wrestling podcasts. Probably good balance of the two. But he would get on these interviews and say, like, oh, no, they've just been really busy. He's still one of my best friends and this and that. But it's like as soon as CZW, as soon as the guy isn't working there, they're like, fuck that place. What a shithole. The fucking thing's going down. The booking is trash. But, like, while they're there, they're like, no, man, it's not that bad. It's great. Yeah, CZW, fucking like nothing else. It's just... people only talk that high shit when they're there for a minute, you know, and then as soon as they leave, they're like, fuck. Like, there's not too many good breakups on CZW, you know? Like, if it was the dating scene, they would have, like, a lot of bad fucking reviews on whatever app they're using type shit, you know? So CZW, let me see. Let me pull up this fucking Cage of Death card because it's fucking crazy. Let me see. Yeah, I should have, like... I would say I should be more prepared, but then that wouldn't even be my show. You know? So fuck it, you know? There's people to start the show. Deathmatch. And, you just fucking sit there and wait for, like, 15 minutes. He's like, yeah, tonight on the show is gonna be such and such. Then you just fucking... You're supposed to wait. You're supposed to sit there and wait. Yeah, I just saw this fucking post out of this fucking dude. There it is. Alright, DJ Hyde posted fucking the Cage of Death card. So this is Jordan Oliver, which is the Wiry champion. versus Casey Navarro, which I think is like a part of his squad or some shit. This does not look like two fucking title contenders, title holders, title anything. This is two student-looking motherfuckers, man, for the Wired title, which is, it's just crazy. Because the Wired title used to be the fucking Iron Man title, which was held by fucking Lobo. Yeah, I mean, and all that shit. Well, it's kind of a combo, because there was also the junior title, which is fucking scrapped. So this is kind of, sort of, like, I guess a hybrid of those two titles. But you wind up with fucking students. So then you got John Silver, Shane Strickland, and Rich Swann in the three-way. Should be a really good match. When they first announced Strickland, they put Shane Strickland. That's the thing. With CZW, like, they're unprofessional bullshit when they just, like, post a graphic with a misspelled fucking name on it. Like, you just shut, just close it down. It's fucking over already. I mean, we're talking about Cage of Death 20 and you're still misspelling names on flyers. There's, like, little bullshit shindies that don't misspell names on fucking flyers. Their flyers might not look very professional, but all the fucking names are spelled right on it. Like, it just, it's unbelievable how fucking behind shit they still are. David Starr versus Anthony Green. So there's that. I don't know anything about Anthony Green other than he wears like Zubas and makes shit look corny. I don't know. You got the Cage of Death world title match inside the Cage of Death. So I guess this is the only actual in the Cage of Death match. Which realistically they should definitely be doing it with the Onita match too. But I guess we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they do it too. But they're announcing this as a CZW world title inside the Cage of Death. RSP versus Mance Warner. Now, initially it was MJF versus, I think, RSP, I believe, in the Cage of Death. But RSP is now hurt. Another horrible booking scenario from CZW. RSP actually wrestled in CZW in the United States two times since he's won the title in fucking April. They had a couple shows, like crossover shows in Canada. And he, you know, he worked those ones within that amount of time. And he defended the title on a couple other company shows in that amount of time. But as far as wrestling within CZW in the United States two times since April when he won the fucking belt. That's a bad decision. That's a complete bad decision, putting the belt on a guy who you can't put consistently. That's nothing new for CZW. It's just like banking on having something that they fucking don't, you know. And maybe they feel like it looks good because he's running around with the title, working in probably more successful places than CZW is right now. But and knowing that the guy's got the talent to fucking get signed and then be like, oh, he had our belt for a long time because we just put it on him and let him tour the country, the world. So there's that. Then you got the tag team titles in a tables match. You got the Blackout, G's and Ruckus with Robbie versus the Rep with Maven. I'm really, really hoping the Blackout loses the fucking titles. You know, big fan of the Blackout. My boys, G's and Ruckus, been cool with these motherfuckers for a long time. And, but the way Robbie's acting with that fucking belt, man, this shit's ridiculous. He's a fucking manager, and, he's Robbie's lost his fucking mind. I don't want to go too deep on this fucking dude, because I'm probably going to mention him again in a minute, but, He's acting crazy. So, it'd be nice for him to not be running around every fucking shindy with a belt when he's the manager of a team. So there's that. Then you got the tag match, which is Onita and Tremont versus Masada and DJ Hyde. I can't imagine this is going to be great, but you have two of the greatest deathmatch wrestlers in the world in the match, in Tremont and Masada. So you definitely have the chance, the opportunity for it to be good. But with DJ involved in it and washed up Onita in it, I don't know. I don't know exactly how much they're going to pull out of this. DJ Hyde managed to, if you have not watched the fucking segment and you have 11 minutes of your life to completely fucking throw out the window, go watch the segment that he did with Tremont. It's one of the worst fucking segments you'll ever see. So there's that. That's the lead up to this match. Then you got Joe Gacy versus Alex Reynolds. So there's that. And then you got a hardcore match, 4-on-4, Mitch Vallon, Jimmy Lloyd, Dan O'Hare, and Maria Manic versus The Office of Connor Claxton, Kid Osborne, Brandon Kirk, and whatever his chick's name is. I don't know what his chick's name is. So, yeah, there's that. This is going to be probably a pretty rough fucking show. But I do enjoy reviewing this type of thing. So, it should be interesting. At the very least, it should be some form of interesting. And most likely remind me why I don't watch wrestling anymore. So, that's that. Look forward to hearing from myself and Sozio about this show. Let me see. Yeah, let me take a break, come back, and hit whatever else I got lined up here. All right. See, this is the type of fuck music I like, man. Like that Meek Mill shit. It's just not for me. You know what I mean? This right here is the type of shit I'm into.
Yeah, nigga. Back in this motherfucker once again.
Watch your back, cause here I come again. Dropping funky shit for the 1990 train. In 1989, I sold dope for a pastime. 1991, they call that nigga Scarface. Started on the team when the nigga turned 16. Back in that green, selling dope to the dope fiend. Daddy seen the schemes, down so it seemed. Cause he hit the nigga up with the nigga, played a triple B. Had a lot of game with the beam, that's what it came with. Told the nigga how to get the fuck. If Daddy jumped up, then I was down for the dirt. When quickness worked, I ain't no motherfucking punk. Down with my partners that a nigga fucked around with. Hunted for some shit to get up into when we found it. If you had a problem with the nigga we was down with, we rode by your set and shut your hoe. Click down, bitch. Niggas wait for keeps in the city that I come from. Niggas talk shit from out of town, but they don't want none. If you think you want some, then go ahead and come. It ain't where you at, you stupid bitch. It's where you from. And coming through my hood is where you findin' all the thugs at. Looking for some dope and they gon' show you where the drugs at. Looking for some trouble, well the niggas gonna plug that. Niggas keep they pistols up underneath the drug mat. Show your little ass, go ahead and let your ass show. Talking that shit, punk bitch, you better dash show. Once I get it on, it ain't no motherfucking holding this. Kinda fucked up that I'm a nigga that be showing this. Nigga roll that he don't want this fool to let the trigger go. But bitch, I got to give you one to let you niggas know. I'm letting you bitches know.
Back inside the cell.
I'm letting you bitches know.
Front back inside the cell. Front back inside the cell. Front back inside the cell.
Inside the cell. I remember back in the game, I used to start shit. Pumping up the hood, making motherfuckers squab. You fuck with one nigga out of the motherfucking clique. You had to fuck around with the whole fucking mob. Cause niggas broke sick and they didn't take shit. Quick to put that ass up in the motherfucking lynch. Whooping on your ass and tie you up to a fence. And since we began, it's been that way ever since. My niggas used to kick it up around the fucking pipe. Smoking, pushing sweets, drinking Miller Lights. Taking turns heating up the motherfucking mic.
mics. And let me be the buster out his motherfucking bike. Crack a jack, tap a motherfucker on the hustle. Making sure my business stays spread drum tight. Huntsville flipper skate 2 for 10 and even gave up shakes to keep my clientele tight. Before long I had customers out the ass buying flippers. Bare skin cuffs, tight ropes and fat slippers. Fresh fade daily I had my own fucking clippers. And all kinds of hoes on my cock sucking zipper. Clothes came in handy, but my money came first. Cause bitches get a ghost when they see your niggas hurt. So if I ain't out shit, I had a motherfucking mint and could pull on my dick. And worst came to worst. So if you got a problem with the way I run my business, let a nigga know so I can put you in your place. 9 times out of 10, you ain't man enough to deal with the born killing dope dealing Mr. Scarface. Rougher than a motherfucker taking no shit from a buster motherfucker who be fixing off the bullshit. Got my bull pump for you bitch made niggas. So let a nigga know when you bitches wanna flip. I'm letting you niggas know.
Right here.
Had to let you know I ain't that nigga you should toy with. So don't come in my face with that motherfucking boy shit. Never come in soft with that love, peace, and joy shit. Mr. Scarface, the real deal McCoy shit. Sending out a shot to all you bust ass one time. Shock a nigga dick, I'll make a nigga rich. Cause you don't get props for what you doing for the cops. Except a swift kick and a mouth for the dick. Let you motherfuckers talk your ass about your game plan. Just because you got a big cat, you the same man that used to get your ass kicked. Daddy back in the neighborhood, finally got a nigga back. Just like you said you would. Fuck it, I'm a nigga getting down for his cash flow. Down the town a hoe, I'm letting you niggas know. I'm letting you bitches know.
Run back inside the shop. Back inside the shop. This one's for the front, back, and side to side.
Yeah, alright, so, what do I want to get into now? Shit, fucking, IWA, King of All Kings, let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, I lost an acquaintance in Ian Rotten through my criticism of IWA King of All Kings. My very first criticism was definitely questioning, I don't think he got offended at that just yet, but that it was even affordable to book all the top deathmatch talent of every era, you know, just like all the winners of deathmatch tournaments as far as the eye could see. I mean, you look across who all the top guys were. They had to win a major tournament, this and that. And when you put it on paper, it's like, well, I mean, you're setting the bar extremely, extremely high because King of the Deathmatch has gone on for so, so long and has such a prestigious lineup of wrestlers that have been in King of the Deathmatch, not to mention Tournament of Death and all the other things out there, Masters of Pain and, you know, these things. So if you're going to collect all of the best of all of those, that should be pretty pricey, you know? So that was my first little bit of concern when that was mentioned. And, I mean, it kind of shits on your own product a little bit because it's like saying, you know, he put, like, no filler or any of this shit. So it kind of said, like, you know, we obviously put filler in every King of the Death match, and this is going to be none of that. Which is, you know, again, like, you're trying to, when you build up a tournament, you should kind of be justifying why each person is in it, which is kind of what J.C. Rotten caught some fucking feelings of what I said going into the King of All Kings thing. Because they started saying, you know, we're only putting the top talent in there, no filler, no this and that. And then they started saying, like, well, we're really impressed with this guy, so we're going to put him in. Like, that wasn't the whole concept of your shit. I know you had, like a slots where people could vote for, you know, whoever's going to get the fuck in that you already didn't put in. But I mean, to start just opening the field to whoever is impressive this week or last month or whatever, it seems completely counterproductive to what you were trying to do, is put the best across the board in there. I feel like that left spots open for your Schlacks, who's been tearing it up all over the place but hasn't won a tournament. It's open up your slots for Marcus Crane, who's been absolutely running shit in GCW and, like, carrying the fucking match scene to another level, doing, like, Big Japan-level shit on a month-in, month-out basis for a while. Not like, oh, he had a couple really great IWA matches, and now we're talking about Marcus Crane. I'm talking about, like, this fucking dude was just murdering it, whether he was third fucking death match of their sixth death match show, or whether he was in the tournament. You know, the first TOS where he had the first round match and he got knocked out, and then he came back in the finals to fucking murder it more, just because they needed people to fill in, and he just fucking got himself out there and just killed shit. His matches with Schlack, his matches in the, I mean, it's just, you can go on and on about the type of things that he's put out there. But if he didn't want a tournament, I feel like a slot's for him. Not like the Orin Vite kid that he's impressed a few people at a few fucking 18 total fucking draw. Yeah, I mean, they draw 18 fucking fans at IWA, and they're all really riled up about this dude. Look, he might be phenomenal, but if you're talking about a tournament that you're putting together that's based off of fucking the best across the board, don't tell me who you're impressed with just now. Like, that shit doesn't even, I don't think that applies to this fucking tournament. So anyway, where I also said that there was a big problem was, you said no filler, and the next thing you know, they put in Insane Lane, which is like 300 plus pounds of fucking filler. There is no fucking substance in this fucking guy. So Ian goes like, "Nah, dude, he's been losing weight. He'll prove you wrong. You watch. I can't wait till he proves you wrong. I will agree to disagree and this and this." And the Lane is Lane. Yeah, he's working on. So I got shot a picture just like the other day, and one today and then one like a week ago. This dude was out there taking a sleep study, looking like morbidly obese, looking like fucking crazy as hell, and looking like a cross between the old Necro Butcher and the comic book guy from The Simpsons. Like, if you smash those two people together, like, that's pretty much what he looks like. And he's got all this shit hooked to him because, obviously, like, the dude's probably near dying in his sleep with some of that sleep apnea shit. He needs that shit that Vader used to come out with in fucking Japan to live through his fucking week, you know? So they're probably trying to figure out, like, why. Like, why? But it's pretty, like, I don't even need to be a doctor. I just look at that picture of you morbidly obese and go, like, that's why. That would be why you can't fucking live through the night without some major equipment, you know. That would be why. You could have just, like, faxed that picture over to the office, and they would have sent back and, like, yeah, thumbs up, fucking laughing emoji, you know. They just cut it out, bro. So clearly he's proven me wrong. I'm sure he's tearing it up on the indie deathmatch scene. And that's the thing with me. Like, don't tell me this motherfucker is going to prove me wrong because you got some inside info. But meanwhile, he's not working anywhere. He's not working anywhere, and the one place he's going to come fucking work is for you. And he's going to be amazing. He's going to be fucking, like, just steal the fucking show crazy. You've never seen anything. Get the fuck out of here. You might have been doing this for 22 years, but I've been a fan for a long time, too. And I can tell you when some shit's going to disappoint, and I can tell you when some shit's not. And this is one of these things that was, it was kind of set up to fail right from the start. I had some worries about it. And so guess what? Canceled. Bunch of motherfuckers sent their money in. Bunch of motherfuckers bought these fucking VIP tickets. Some people booked hotels. Some people booked fucking flights. People had their whole shit together, talking about renting vehicles, this, that. Jeremy had a whole trip fucking planned. Hotel, rental car, all that type of shit. Cancel all that shit. Also, tickets were bought, right? Guess what? Motherfuckers still don't have money out there. As far as I know, again, I ain't got shit to do with anybody's money out there, but some motherfuckers put out money, And from the best to the best of my knowledge, from what I've heard, not everybody got fucking paid yet. Now, the one dude, he filed a PayPal grievance right off the bat. Like, okay, I know how this bullshit goes. I want my fucking money back. So, he filed a, what do they call that? I don't know if they call it a grievance or whatever the fuck. He filed a claim. Yeah, that's it. A claim through PayPal saying, I want, you know, a refund. Shit ain't happening. I want a refund. So, PayPal shut fucking IWA's fucking PayPal down. And fucking Ian blocked that dude on Facebook. And the other dude that filed the claim as well. So that's how they're conducting business. And the dude got his money back because IWA wouldn't have had a fucking PayPal account if they didn't. But sometimes that's the way you got to get your fucking money. And maybe, you know, being friends with a motherfucker ain't worth not getting your fucking money. And being told, brother, you know, oh, I know, brother, I'm hard up. And that's the thing, though. And I'm going to segue from this to another thing. But yeah. So there's no, I've heard no mention of like, now I don't have Ian on Facebook anymore, but Misty's on my Facebook. Which I honestly feel it's just like, sure I could delete her or whatever, but I just feel like that's like, so she could report some shit to Ian if I talk some wild shit. I feel like that's the only reason she's there, and it's fine. You can fucking beat her, because I'm not scared of anybody hearing what I say. I put this shit out there, and I want everybody to fucking listen, and you can go tell your fucking friends, and you can tell this one and that one. Last week's episode, I got a bunch of messages, like, the next day, like, yo, why'd you say this, or, oh, this dude heard you said that, and this and that. Like, whatever, good. Like, I'm not saying this shit in a fucking back alley somewhere to one motherfucker. I'm broadcasting it. So it is what it is. I'm not really worried about my words, you know, hitting people's ears that I'm talking about, because I'm being open. I'm being honest about shit. That's what a lot of motherfuckers out there aren't. And that's what, you know, a lot of this I do because, you know, it's fun to me. But in the same token, I don't think most fucking podcasts out there are as honest as me. I think everybody kind of plays a role that they feel like playing. The thing is the difference between me and a lot of fucking wrestlers, or not wrestlers, wrestling fans out there, a podcast, whatever, they want wrestlers to respect them as a fan. I want people in general to respect me as a man. I don't give a fuck about a fan. So the thing is you might not like me because of what I say on this fucking podcast, or what I type about wrestling and my feelings on podcasts, or my feelings on wrestling, or my feeling on this wrestler or that wrestler. And if that makes you not respect me as a man overall, then I don't give a fuck about you. You can go fuck yourself. You can go fuck your mother. I don't give a shit, because if you look at everything I contribute to this world as a man across the fucking board, what I do with animals, the love I have for my kids, yeah, I mean, you look at what I fucking contribute, look at the passion I put into the things that I really actually care about, and judge that shit. Judge that shit and look at me what the fuck I put out there. And if you don't respect that, then I don't have room for you. I don't really give a fuck. You're not the type of motherfucker I'm trying to gain respect from. And I really don't try to gain respect from anyone either. I'm just going to be who I am. And if you can look at who I am and see the value in that, then great. I respect that. If you don't, I don't really need to fucking impress nobody. You know what I mean? I don't really have to go out of my way to do anything that I wouldn't already do. You know, so I live my life a little bit differently than a lot of motherfuckers. And, you know, it kind of is what it is. So the next thing I want to talk about is the wrestlers that'll take fucking full advantage of the fans. The fans that want to help support them. A lot of times there's complete pleas put out there. Oh man, I'm hard. I'm having a hard time with this. I'm having a hard time with that. Man, fucking life is going, it's rough, man. Please support me. I'm fucking down on my luck and this and that. And shit, I don't know what to do. And half these fucking wrestlers don't have regular jobs, and then maybe some do. But like, you get the sob story out of a lot of them. And it's funny because on one hand, you'll get wrestlers telling you like, unless you lace up the boots, don't have the fucking balls to comment on what I do. And on the other side is brother, 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 brother. So, on one hand, like, I'm your fucking relative. And on the other hand, I better not say shit about what the fuck I'm watching if I don't like it. You know what I mean? So, go fuck yourself. So, one example. Neil Diamond Cutter. This fucking dude, I believe Jeremy paid him in May, for a fucking t-shirt. Motherfucker still didn't send it to him. And it's always, brother, brother, brother. Oh, I'm having a hard time, brother. Oh, just give me, you know, this and that. And Ian does a lot of that shit, too. And here's the problem, man. You don't get to fucking take people's money and then figure out when is a good time in your life when you're financially stable enough to give people what the fuck they paid for. When you fucking take money for somebody's shit, you send them what the fuck they bought. You can't take a bunch of people's money and then try to get on your feet. Part of getting on your fucking feet is taking people's money for a product you have. They're helping you get on your feet. You hold up with your part of the deal and you send them the fucking shirt. Because if you don't have the shirts, then you're just fucking stealing from people. If you have the shirts, but you don't want to put out the $5 of a fucking shipment, well, then you're being a greedy motherfucker. And you didn't deserve that fucking other $20 for the fucking shirt. Because you didn't want to put out the $5 for the shipping. Or walk to the fucking post office or do whatever. But that's part of people helping you to fuck out. When you're down on your luck and motherfuckers aren't answering your fucking messages, and you got one fucking fan from halfway across the country, it's like, yo, bro, I love that fucking match. Here's fucking $20 for that shirt. And you find a fucking place in your fucking life to just go, I don't have it. I don't have it on me to send to him. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like I really hope motherfuckers like that get hit by a fucking bus. You know what I mean? Like, tomorrow. Like, straight up. And then I hope they send his fucking clothes to motherfuckers like Jeremy, who bought a fucking shirt off him, never got it. Probably ain't going to fit because he's a little short-ass dude, but at least he would have got a fucking shirt for his fucking money. You know what I mean? It's fucking crazy. It's absolutely fucking crazy. It's despicable. This fucking corp, when he fucking robbed the fucking fans because, like, brother, kill them all, cup, brother. We're gonna put do the fucking thing. Like, he stole fucking Gage's catchphrase at the time and then turned it into a fucking tournament that never happened and stole motherfuckers' money. Then went, got locked up, snitched on motherfuckers, came out. And there's pictures of him posing with fucking Jeff Skelton, the pilot, who fucking lost a shitload of money to him. So I don't know if he paid him the fuck back in order to be back in his good graces or whatever, but he definitely lost a fucking bunch of money on corp shit. And it's like, it becomes like a running joke, like, oh, kill them all, cup, this and that. These motherfuckers are putting faith in you. And that's the thing, man. And not to make it about me, but I do have to fucking mention this shit. And, you know, I've asked some people, you know, over time and stuff. And part of it had to do with, you know, getting this show up and running again and stuff. And, you know, I got the lesser package, so I can't go over 2 hours now and shit like that. But, you know, I found a way to make it happen and, yeah, you know, some people, you know, bought a couple shirts off me. Russell's a big, big fucking supporter in that, and I couldn't thank him enough. But on some real shit, man, like, to give you the personal side, my job just cut the fucking hours right before fucking Christmas. 17 fucking years I've been there. We've been open 9 to 6 on the weekdays. Initially, we were open 9 to 6 on the weekends. It was probably like 2 or 3 years in. And then they cut the hours on the weekend. So we were open 9 to 5 on the weekends, 9 to 6 on the weekdays. At the time, initially I was working 48 hours because it was nine to six on the weekends. So I'm off Sundays. So when they cut the weekend hours, I got 47 hours. So you're talking 7 hours of overtime. That shit adds up big time. Time and a half, 7 hours. It's a big, big part of your check. So, fucking last week, they decided, they're having a really hard time, donations and shit. You know, the place I work for runs off donations. They run off of, contracts that they hold with different towns as far as their, you know, animal control. We have 3 branches and, you know, they've lost some towns here and there, some pretty big contracts, and donations have been down, and, you know, things are tough. I understand things are tough, but They just fucking decided we're just pulling the fucking hours back during the weekdays from 9 to 5. So now everybody's working fucking 9 to 5. They were working 9 to 6 Monday to Friday. So that strips me of 5 fucking hours overtime right before fucking Christmas. I got 3 kids, and that is a big fucking chunk coming out of my fucking check. So again, not fucking begging or anything like that, but if anybody out there wants to buy some fucking shirts, I got the Fuck Out of Here shirts. I got the Zandig Guy shirts. I got those DVDs, you know, some of those DVDs that I got. Anyone wants to fucking hook that up? I mean, shit, I ain't gonna lie to you. I want to just drop fucking money in my PayPal. You can do that shit too, but I'm not the type of motherfucker to be begging for that type of shit. PayPal's jcatmorris@yahoo.com. But definitely hit me up if you're going to do anything or want anything, because I'd really rather, you know, sell fucking shirts, you know, have people walking around with the merch and shit. And like I said, the dope ass shirts. Better Christmas present than a Fuck Out of Here t-shirt. Show your family that you ain't trying to hear their shit with a Fuck Out of Here t-shirt. But yeah, like I said, I would never in a million years think like, yo, I need the money, fucking send me some money for the shirt, and you fucking send me the money, and then I'm just like, shit, man, that $5 shipping, I'm just going to leave that shit in my account, and fuck it, man, shit, I can't do it, and then spend that, and be like, oh, I don't even have that money anymore. Well, shit, that was part of the fucking agreement. Like, you don't get to play that other side of the game where, like, you now manage the fucking money and be like, oh, I'll give it back to you when you can, I owe you a shirt. What? Owe you? Who the fuck are you talking to? Can you imagine, like, if you're selling fucking shirts in the fucking building, and the motherfucker said, I want one of these in large, you fucking took their money and just fucking skirt at the fucking back door and left, and then hit it, and then walked up to him at the next show and was like, oh, yeah, I'm out of larges, man. I'm gonna have to hit you next time. Like, that shit doesn't work. But now with the internet and shit, it's so much easier for motherfuckers across the country to just be like, sorry, dude, some shit happened. And I've heard it from all different wrestlers, all different motherfuckers, and fans that I know, like, they're going so far above and beyond, like, further than I would ever fucking go to try to help these fucking dudes out. Like, they're legitimately like, dude, I enjoyed that dude's match. I want to support him. And the next thing you know, it's like, yeah, that dude fucking blocked me, or he's not fucking responding to my messages anymore. Like, you fucking dirtbag motherfucker. Yeah, I mean, and then got the nerve, like, this diamond cutter cocksucker. He's on fucking Facebook. I'm going to start promoting shows. Anybody got ideas for the... Are you out of your fucking mind? Why don't you fucking send a fucking shirt to the dude that gave you fucking... You have the money to start up a promotion to run a fucking show, and you don't have the money to send a $20 fucking shirt? And the shirts don't cost fucking $20. Half of these fucking shirts will cost you fucking $7 to make, and you're getting 13 fucking profit off it. Not including the fucking $5 or $10 that you took for fucking shipping, and you're sitting on all that shit like, fuck it, man, I don't got it. But you're asking, you got the balls to go on a fucking Facebook and ask, yo, like, how do you think I should run this fucking company? Like, what would you like to see on a show? I'd like to see you jump off a motherfucking bridge. That would be a fantastic show. Because you're a piece of shit, man. You take people's fucking money, and then I hit him up like a couple weeks ago, and I just put him on blast on his fucking page. He asked some all stupid shit, and I'm like, yeah, why don't you try sending motherfuckers their shit when they support you? And I told him what I was talking about, and he hits me up. Oh, thank you, man. Like, I totally forgot. I'm going to send him out some shit and some extra shit this weekend, man. That's so cool of you to, you know, stick up for your friend and this and that. Like, yeah. Fucking never did any of that. Never did any of that shit. Or right back on his fucking word. Yeah, I mean, it's just trash. Get the fuck out of here. Josh Crane, fat pigeon-shaped scumbag. Motherfucker owes me a couple $100 because when he reprinted the fucking Zandig guy shirts, the larger sizes, those motherfuckers came out 2 inches smaller than the fucking regular ones, the last print. And I fucking hit him up, and he played dumb. Oh, I don't know. What's the problem? And I fucking put him side by side, and he's like, oh yeah, that does look a little different. And then fucking he's like, dude, you know, I'll make good anywhere I can. Da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, like fucking my money would be making good and shit. And it was like a lot more It was more than $200 for the fucking batch of shirts. But I said, like, yo, just call it fucking 200 and let's fucking just do like that. And, yeah, whatever, fucking all good. Next thing you know, like, I don't get any fucking money. And then when Hamhead and that whole fucking crew of idiots fucking started up on me, they started talking shit. And Jonathan Stauffer, who now is, he's been apologetic and he's a nicer dude to me than he was initially. Because, you know, I got pretty riled up with these motherfuckers and I'm not really down to play games with any of them. Yeah. I mean, I'm not Batman. I'm not going to run around punching people in the fucking face for acting like fucking idiots on the internet. But yeah, I mean, the majority of these motherfuckers know where I'm at. Yeah. I mean, as far as that goes physically, and it's not something that Hamhead ever wanted. And he showed that shit. I don't want to get back into a whole thing about him, but bottom line is, motherfuckers started talking about shirts and shit, and this fucking guy comes out of the blue and goes, dude, I made those, but it's not my fault. I got sent shit art and this and that, and it's like, whoa. So I chime right the fuck back in. I started sending him screenshots of his own fucking words. Like, yo, what the fuck? Oh, no, dude, I'm sorry, you're right. And fucking backpedaled his stupid-looking ass. So, and then it was like fucking last year, I believe, hit him up again. Oh, so hey, motherfucker, like, what's up now? Like, we still fucking not doing shit? Oh, dude, no, I'm gonna fucking send you a refund and shit, and all the proceeds. I've had this like personal shit going on, my family and this and that. And he had some like Bernie Mac shit going on where like his family got fucked up on drugs and he took the kids and shit. And yeah, I give all respect for that. I'm not gonna shit on a dude doing right in his personal life about shit, but like, when again you take on a financial responsibility to put out a certain product and people don't fucking give you half the money, they give you all the fucking money and they want all the fucking product. And when you fuck up, it's your responsibility to come back financially the same way they gave to you financially. So you want to support your family and this and that, and then go on your Facebook talking about good business and this and that and expect me not to chime in and be like, hey, speaking of good business, dickhead, like, how about my fucking money? And it's like, oh, no, dude, so I'm so sorry. Shit. And then, like, I have screenshots of him saying, like, I'll give you all the proceeds from my wrestling or fucking graphic and all this. And it's been over a fucking year. Yeah, I mean, he ain't giving me shit. I don't plan on him giving me shit. But I'm never, ever, ever going to stop fucking talking shit about that fucking dude's business and his fucking his word. His word being right at all. On top of him just being like a fat slob that fucking talks about working harder than everybody else. He's always posting these motivational quotes about like, work hard while your opponent's sleeping. Like, no one's going to work harder than fucking dead. Shut the fuck up, man. Your fucking work looks crazy. Like, the result of your hard work looks like a fat pigeon, man. I have pigeons, so I know what they're shaped like. And you look like a pigeon or maybe a duck with a shorter neck. Yeah, I mean, your body is crazy looking. I work fucking hard physically, and that's why I look how the fuck I look like. Yeah, I mean, but you don't know shit about that. You don't know about keeping up with your fucking word. You don't know about being about what you fucking talk about and showing results for what the fuck you put out there. That's why I don't respect motherfuckers like this that put out this kind of fucking business diamond cutter idiot, this fucking Josh Crane pigeon. Yeah, I mean, You fucking prey on these motherfuckers who try to support your fucking business because they respect what you're doing in the wrestling business. And like I said, I don't want to be fucking respected as a fan. I ain't no fucking fan. I'm a man, and you'll fucking talk to me like I'm a fucking man. Otherwise, I ain't got fucking room for you. You know what I mean? This isn't some, like, intimidation level shit. This is just some real shit, man. I'm 40 years old. You're either going to deal with a motherfucker like an adult, or you can go play with your fucking friends because I don't got time for you. So that's what it is. You live and you learn. You know, you take a couple fucking losses and shit. You write it off and keep it going. But you realize who not to fuck with in the future. And it's these type of motherfuckers that should never, no one should ever do business with these fucking people again. That's what they should get. So when they're like, wow, I'm really sad. Like, I'm on the side of the road. Can anyone give me a ride? No, fuck you, motherfucker. Stand on the inside of the line. That's my suggestion to you. Stand on the inside of that white line instead of the outside of the white line. You know what I mean? I can't stand, maybe lay on the inside of the white line, you dirty motherfucker. I can't stand motherfuckers to take advantage of people And that there's so much of that shit in the wrestling business because it's easy money. It's like you got these people chanting your fucking name. You got them fucking clapping, fucking running around the fucking country with your shirt on, representing your fucking name. And then when it comes time to fucking pay them back, and just it's not even like you're doing them a fucking favor. You're doing your part of the service when you're selling them some shit. You know? Maria Manic will send you exactly what you paid for and call you a scumbag on air if you want to, if that's what you're looking for. You know what I mean? That's a good businesswoman right there. You know? She's not going to beat you on it. She'll write on there, I thought about not sending this shit to you, you dirty motherfucker, if that's what you're looking for. You know what I mean? But she's not legitimately just going to take your money and fucking run with it. You know? Let's talk about some more scumbag shit. James Ellsworth. Yeah. So there's no chin having motherfucker. He was up there fucking texting and fucking sending dick pics and all this other shit to underage girls. So his career is over. There's been a lot of this indie shit. There's a couple other motherfuckers that I think that caveman dude. Caveman, I liked him as a wrestler. I thought he was a real fucking good character wrestler. He could work in a ring and shit. He had his old gimmick down and everything else. And I guess, he decided, fucking talking to some fucking minors and shit. These people are scumbags. Absolute fucking scumbags. And if you could defend this type of shit, you're a scumbag too. I want these motherfuckers, like, under the fucking jail. Buried, dead, gone. I don't give a fuck. If this is your agenda, there are so many fucking women on this planet. And if you can't fucking work within your fucking age range, if you can't work with adults, you get to the point where you're a fucking adult and anything over 18 is not within your fucking wheelhouse, you gotta shoot lower, then you're a scumbag and someone should shoot you in your fucking face. And again, I'm not Batman. I'm not gonna run around and fucking take care of the fucking shit that's going on out there or anything like that. I can tell you if some shit, I got three daughters. I can tell you if any one of you scumbags or any other scumbags that have nothing to do with wrestling, any one of you dirty motherfucking pedophile scumbags try do anything with my daughter the day that one of these fucking scumbags stumbles over my daughter doing one of my three daughters doing this type of shit, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Your family is going to fucking cry because I will cut your motherfucking head off and mail pictures to your fucking family before they haul my shit off to fucking prison. I'm not about playing fucking games. We could joke about wrestling. We could do about this. We could do about that. But these motherfuckers, there's no excuse for them. There's no fucking excuse for them. And that's why I also wanted to mention fucking they just talk another minute about it. They make the ultimate fucking sacrifice for that. Like, not only are they doing that, they're putting everybody in their fucking family. If they got kids, they're putting their fucking kids on the fucking line. They're putting their parents. They're putting their fucking possible girlfriends, boyfriend, whatever the fuck they got. They're putting all that shit on the line because when that fucking sexual predator shit hits the computer, your whole fucking anybody in your inner circle's got fucking eyeballs on them, like they the ones that fucked up. So you're putting your whole fucking family on the line. You're risking every fucking thing you've got because to you, that shit is worth it. And that's why to me, you ain't worth shit. So that's how I feel about that shit. Now, the other thing that I did want to mention Robbie about is because James Ellsworth was doing a lot of like FaceTiming with his kid and shit, because I guess it was cool, you know, they were friends from the indies and this and that, and then he wound up on the WWE, so it was cool, man. I got this guy that's on TV FaceTiming the kid and this and that, and Robbie has a problem where he had a connection through wrestling with people, both this Ellsworth scumbag and that Rockin' Rebel piece of fucking trash that killed his fucking family, killed his fucking wife with his fucking kids in the house, the mother of his fucking kids with his kids in the fucking house. So he had connections with these fucking people. And when they do fucking despicable shit, this fucking guy goes in the mourning like the shit happened to him. And he's got to fucking pick himself up and get over it because he's acting like a fucking clown on the internet. You know, Robbie's a guy I liked a lot, man. His Hall of Fame speech included my fucking name. You know? Robbie's a guy I liked a lot. But he's acting fucking crazy online right now. You know what I mean? And, yo, move the fuck on. You knew the fucking dude. He did some old wild shit you don't want any fucking part of. If you had a daughter, you wouldn't want that motherfucker FaceTiming with your fucking daughter. So just back the fuck up and go, shit, I didn't know. That's fucked up. Fuck that motherfucker. How hard is it to cut ties with a motherfucker who did some dirty shit? You got to be on some like, this is really affecting my life. I've had such a rough year because of this and because of Rebel. I understand, man. You had a connection, this and that. But if that wasn't your father that killed your fucking, your mother and left your fucking brothers, brother and sister in the fucking house with him. This is a fucking guy you knew through wrestling. Stop making wrestling such a fucking major part of your life, man. This shit's not going to make you fucking wealthy to the point where you're putting your kid in a great financial situation. You're not going to be set up for life based off of this little fucking hobby you got. Yeah, I mean, you got yourself on the fucking edge of the cliff working at GNC, mourning motherfuckers who never belonged in any respect level in your life. And you know, they played their role, they did whatever, and when the true colors came out and one was a fucking murderer and the other one was a fucking pedophile, you go, oh shit, didn't know, backing up, I'm a better guy than both these motherfuckers. That should hold no fucking weight on your future. You fucking crazy. I mean, it's just shit like this, man. I can't continue going through life and just being like, oh, well, that's perfectly normal. I guess she's having a hard time. Like, what the fuck for? I understand initially that shit hitting you. But you're going to carry that shit like fucking baggage for the rest of your fucking year, for the rest of your life? Get the fuck out of here, man. You got real fucking actual family shit to go on. You got a kid to raise. You got yourself to fucking take care of. You worried about this old bullshit? Get these motherfuckers out of your life and move on, man. It's just fucking crazy, man. I just don't get it. Shane Mercer picked up fucking bleachers like a fucking a bale of hay or some shit. He was at I think that was the IWA show or shit. And he used the fucking bleachers like a weapon. He put the whole stack of bleachers on his fucking shoulder, brought that shit into the ring. That dude's a fucking beast, man. Straight up. What else I got? I don't think I got much else. NFL has been fucking crazy, man. I don't even know what to fucking do anymore. I'm horrible at betting, and I'm going to, I guess, keep trying. I don't do anything major. You know, it's a couple bucks here and there. I think the 1 week way early in the season, I bet like 80 bucks the 1 week because I got all fucking hyped up, legalized betting and all this. But I haven't gone above 40 any other week. So, you know, been definitely dropping even lower now, you know, with the, you know, financial situation there. So, yeah, man. Hit me up. You know, you want some fucking shirt, DVD, whatever the fuck. I only have so many DVDs, but, you know, shirts I got. I think that's about all I got. Check out, I got your 5 stars. Jeremy doing his fucking thing. Check out fucking, THT Podcast with Shaheen and Boxman. Nuclear Heat Graphics, I believe that's what he called it now. He changed his name a bunch of time, I feel like. I think Nuclear Heat Graphics. He's out there doing a fucking Cage of Death fucking afternoon extravaganza, I think, tomorrow. He was out in the arena today. I think he's doing the afternoon or the Cage of Death or some kind of shit tomorrow for sure. Cage of Death's tomorrow night, so that's fucking Sunday night. I don't know, man. I got a bad feeling about that draw. Maybe fucking Onita helps him out, but, like, the rest of that card looks real fucking lackluster, and, shit. CZW's in their lowest drawing time ever. I've never seen a time that's, drawn lower than this. So, there's that. Besides, you know, the cutting hours and shit like that, adoptions are really picking up at work. It's that time of year. It's, the best time for cat adoptions. I've always had the theory that it's pretty much, you know, in the spring, summertime, people are outside more. They're taking vacations. They're, you know, outside. Even if you're out in your backyard doing shit, you're not really thinking about adding a cat in the house quite as often as you are, in the wintertime, everything's warm and cozy. You're inside just trying to, you know, just hold it down, you know, when it's cold out. And, you know, that's when a lot of people think about adding another cat to the household, or a cat if you don't have one. So it seems to every year, like clockwork, late fall, early winter, the adoptions pick up. During the summer, kitten season picks up, so we start getting a bunch of kittens, but the adoptions are still kind of slow. So I'm really happy, you know, having a lot of my cats go home right now. I mean, you'll get some veterans, like cats you've had for years, and you'll have a cat that's been there a week, doesn't even spend a week in there. Garfield, I had posted a big thing on Facebook about this, but he was adopted for me a year ago by older people. I was not a fan of this adoption from the start. They fucking kept him for a year. Well, they actually declawed him soon after they got him, which they were not supposed to do. Anybody who adopts from us is pretty much agreeing not to declaw them. And they declawed them anyway because they're fucking lying scumbags. And, you know, and a year later they fucking returned him. So he wound up back in the shelter. I couldn't give his fucking claws back, which breaks my fucking heart, because I could do everything I can to get this cat back in a home. You know, I could try to fucking right the wrongs, make his fucking future, you know, something that his past won't even matter anymore, because his whole new life will start and everything's good. That's what I try to do. I try to, you know, mentally and sometimes physically rehabilitate these cats to just fucking put anything behind them. A lot of times people come into shelter and they'll be like, you know, what was the cat turned in for? And I'll be like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If it's nothing behavioral or anything that you got to worry about with the cat, now it's like moving, allergic, who gives a fuck? I worry about the present and the future for every animal that comes in that shelter, because that's what really, really matters. The present is keeping that cat healthy and happy and getting him socialized and feeling good about the people he meets and comfortable. And then the next thing to do is worry about his future and try to place him in the right home that won't ever fucking let him go again. And that's what I did with Garfield. He was easy, man. I'll tell you what, he took that whole thing in stride, and he's an amazing cat, you know, 2-year-old cat now. And he went home, you know, he just went home actually today. He was supposed to go home yesterday, but they had something to do, so they came like a day late. But yeah, so he went home today, and I couldn't be happier. Couldn't be prouder of that type of thing. You know, when I'm able to give a cat a home like that, you know, I obviously had a pretty rough, you know, first year. It just sucks that, you know, the declawing thing happened, because I can't fix that. You know, it's something that just leaves an emptiness. For anybody that doesn't know what declawing is all about, they cut the fingers off at the first knuckle. And that's what it is. It's an elective amputation that the animal then has to walk its whole life on. So you think about amputating part of your feet, part of your toes, and then just walking for the rest of your life on them. You will develop arthritis in your later years, which cats almost always do. You have to understand too, a lot of people will go, oh, well, I had a cat declawed and they were fine. Well, one of a cat's natural defenses is to not show weakness and not show pain. There's some cats that are better than it than others. So some cats will fucking go their whole life and not show you anything, but know that they're definitely hurting. I mean, you can't just cut off part of your, you know, digits and then walk on them for your whole life. A lot of times it causes behavioral problems, from biting to litter box problems to those type of things. It can cause all sorts of psychological damage. I've had countless cats that have come into the shelter declawed, and they end up completely unadoptable. There's nothing more you can do for them. You can't fix what's been done to them. Psychologically, they become so difficult and aggressive, or completely just defiant towards using a litter box at all. You can try everything you can, and some just haven't been able to be saved. And it's a real shame, because that's something that a human completely elected to do. And not only did they elect to do it, but they also didn't even have the courtesy to keep the animal for their whole life that they did that damage to. You know, I have a Bengal who, he was declawed, and just fucking thrown outside. So someone paid a couple grand for this fucking Bengal cat, because they're not cheap, and then realized what they were dealing with. You know, with Bengal cats, like, they're gorgeous cats, but very problematic. They're great athletes, so a lot of times, you know, people have problems with the amount of damage they could do to a house, because they could jump very high. They can get on anything that they want to get on in your house. They have a very strong play drive, so, you know, you still have an adult cat that wants to play like a kitten. They have a very strong hunting drive, so a lot of times they want to get out, they want to go out, so, you know, it becomes difficult to, you know, corral them or make sure that, you know, they're not slipping out on you or anything like that. Some people give up on that and just let them out, which obviously puts them at risk. And then, you know, they also have, like, a strong dominance. So, you know, the urge to mark their territory sometimes is higher, too. So there's a lot of those type of things. And there's different levels of Bengals. There's, like, the F1 Bengals that's closer to a wildcat. You know, as more of a pure Bengal as you get, there's, like, different levels of it. And the higher level of it you get, the closer you are to the actual hybrid from, you know, the wildcat into the house cat. And then they go down, you know, when you get to, like, your F3s and stuff. Like, my Bengal is more of, like, a F3. You know, he's more of a low-end Bengal, I guess you'd call him. They're also very prone to irritable bowel syndrome. So sometimes the diets that you have to feed these guys are just insane. Mine has that problem. And it's very, very difficult to manage. You wind up on medications and this and that to just try to, you know, keep them stable, you know, with his stomach. So it definitely is a lot to undertake, I should say, as far as owning a Bengal. So for whatever reason, you know, people sign up for it because they see a beautiful cat, this and that. They don't do a lot of research. Before you know it, they cast that cat outside because it's not what they fucking signed up for. And he wound up just astray, just fucking loose outside with a fucking no identification, no microchip, no tag, no anything, no owner to reclaim him, and Fronty clawed. And Fronty clawed bad enough where he had nerve damage done, because it was done even badly on top of it being a terrible thing to begin with. So he had nerve damage done, so his bones are very painful, and, you know, when the weather's bad, he's obviously an indoor cat, all my cats are indoor. But, you know, they have a fucking, like, he has a little bit of a limp, you know, when it's rainy or, like, real cold or bitter or anything like that. So, it's just crazy shit, man. When I see this fucking declawing nonsense, I just see red. You know what I mean? People come in with that, oh, yeah, my couch, my this and that. Like, oh, go fuck your couch. You know what I mean? If your couch and this and that is that important that you can't have a cat with claws, then just don't get a fucking cat. Like, the option is that fucking simple. Just don't get a cat. Just don't do it. You don't need to. You don't need to at all. Or you can also fucking go seek out rescues, because there's so many cats out there that jerk-offs already declawed and then gave them up. So take some extra time. Maybe you can't just real quick get a cat. But go out there and search for rescues and shelters and cats that have lost their fucking home despite being declawed, and maybe you can give one of them a home, you know. But it's a terrible, terrible thing to do to an animal. It's cats have had such a bad continued trend on things to do to cats that have become completely acceptable. From just letting them out your front door and rolling the dice on whether a predator gets them, a car hits them, whether they come back, they don't come back, they eat some kind of fucking poison or some kind of shit outside, they wind up in other people's yards, you don't want them there, they could do anything to them, they could get fucking jump into someone's neighbor's backyard with a dog that doesn't like cats. Dude, you just completely roll the fucking dice with your cat and let them out the door, and it's acceptable. You really, like, people don't really do that with dogs. There used to be some old shit where you just let the dog wander the neighborhood. People don't generally do that anymore. People just let their fucking cats fucking get impregnated, fucking have kittens under the shed. Some kittens die. Some are left. Oh, she had four, now there's two. Look at that. I wonder what happened. And, oh, my cat had kittens again. And just, like, fucking completely irresponsible, dirty shit to do when thousands upon thousands of cats die in shelters every fucking year. I mean, it's incredible the numbers. Go look up euthanasia numbers in shelters. And it's all just fucking ignorance and just overpopulation by terrible, terrible ownership. And then on top of that, like I said, you got the declawed people that just, like, they do that shit for their convenience. But when the cat's no longer convenient, claws are not, they get rid of that shit too. So they do a major fucking alteration to the cat's body and they go, yeah, this still isn't working out for my life. You got to go. So it just fucking enrages me. It's not a part of cat ownership. It's really not. People are fucked up that way, you know. We've done countless things to animals that have, made us happy. We stick these fucking parrots that fly through the fucking sky. Gorgeous fucking parrots that fly through the sky in the Amazon. You see some of those fucking videos of them flying through. It looks like a fucking moving. It just looks like a miracle. Yeah, I mean, the blues and the reds and the greens fucking soaring over the fucking rivers. And we stick them in a little tiny fucking cage and tell them, shut up. Like, why are you screaming? I mean, you took the fucking sky away from a bird. It's fucking incredible. So, it's just, you know, what we do is fucking humans. But the cat thing obviously hits a nerve with me. It's my profession. It's what I do. It's my passion. So, yeah, just wanted to fucking put that out there. Obviously, Garfield is a very successful story. He's great, and I wish him all the best. I'm really happy about him going home. I don't know why I say I wish him the best. It's not like he's listening to this fucking podcast. But what can you do? So that's about all I got. Like I said, next week you can look forward to me and Sozio talking a ton of shit about a Cage of Death show. I mean, I hope for the best because I would like to see something that isn't complete dog shit, but I kind of know what I'm getting into here. I don't expect it to be amazing. I heard Joe Gacy's getting, like, looks over there at Evolve, and he's got a possible NXT shit coming or something like that, maybe tryouts or something going on. I think it's well-deserved. I think this guy just needs someone to kind of write his role for him. CZW's a shithole, so whenever someone's trying to, like, polish that shit and try to make it, you know, a big deal again and really trying to make it, here, I'm going to be the lead of this shit, and, like, CZW's still CZW, and I'm the fucking guy, and, like, why are you hating? It's because everything in CZW's trash, so even if you're, like, the main attraction in it now and stuff, it might have been a big deal back in the day, but it's not now, and it's just a bad place to get stuck. Anybody who has any kind of fucking talent long term is just fucking stopped in and moved out. You know, that's how CZW's been for a while. It's not a destination anymore. It is for the young guys because it used to be a major fucking thing, and now it's so much easier to get a spot that it's a huge deal when suddenly you have your spotlight there. So I don't blame them, but it's still a shithole. But I think that's about all I got. And if you want to, do any pregame for CZW, maybe DJ Hyde's got his latest workout with that chick that calls him a bitch and has him spread his legs on the fucking Instagram. That's the most fucking embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And another guy who shows his results through his body on a regular basis. It's bananas. I don't know what the fuck he's trying to accomplish there. But anyway, I think I shouted out the people I want to shout out. Shaheen, Jeremy. That's it. If I missed anybody, I don't know. Hit me up. Talk some shit. Any topics you want me to cover, you know, in the future or whatever, because I got this one with Sozio coming up. Now I kind of cleared my plate, you know what I mean? I hit all the different things that I wanted to talk about. And I'm back to fucking back fresh. And I can talk about whatever fuck you guys want to hear me talk about. I didn't really get too into the NFL. Maybe we'll do that a little bit more next week. Oh, check out Grizzworld on fucking YouTube. That's my puppet channel. I've been doing the football picks every week, losing every week. So the one thing you can enjoy about that is the puppet banter back and forth of the losing. I did a little teaser debut of fucking Artie on the video this past video that I just put out, and when I get done with this, I'm going to film another Taj one for this week's picks. Some stuff that I like doing, really enjoying it. So that's about it. Yeah. I'll talk to you motherfuckers later. Peace.
Talk to y'all later. Have a nice night. Stay dry. It's raining again. I'm tired as rain. Makes my grass green. I won't complain about that. That's all I gotta say. I'm out of here.
I love all of y'all and, shit.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
You've been in the gym, bro.
You know why?
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me.
I'll listen to your podcast and I'll find everything out. You know what I mean?
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what am I you?
Good. Mike Cheese tells me all the time to listen to what you gotta say because you be blazing people. And I'm like, well, I gotta hear it now.
You just know how to hide. A lot. Me, I don't have that part. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Jesus!
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no foolishness.